This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Hope you're having a great Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk here with you until 8 o'clock. My weekend was great, but my Monday has not been great. As you can tell, my voice, I did catch whatever has been going around the city. Not as bad as some others, but it has affected my voice. Some say for the better, so hopefully you agree with that. Also, too, had some dental work earlier today, and my dentist, who I think is really good, but he drilled part of my tongue off, so hopefully that doesn't affect me talking since that is my job. My weekend was great, though. You can't beat my weekend. Went on, I guess you call it a double date. Do you call that double dates when you're married? But, yeah, me and my wife went out with a good friend of mine and his wife, and Jackson Limousine provided us with a great limo. You can see the picture at Officially Vase, and we headed out to Mastro's Ocean Club in Malibu and ran into a big Dodger fan who listens to the show, Todd, and he hooked us up with a better table. We were getting one of those middle tables where people walk between you on each side, and Todd at Mastro's Ocean Club in Malibu hooked us up, and I tweeted a picture of us together at @TheReal_DV, and I got a great response from a listener, too, that said they were there a week before, and Todd treated them great as well. So go out there if you have a chance, an anniversary, a birthday, a special occasion. That's the place you want to go, Mastro's Ocean Club in Malibu. And, no, I am not endorsing them. I'm not getting paid by them. It's just probably the best meal I've had all year long. It may be top five meal I've had in my life. So my weekend was good. My Monday, not so great, but I'm here with you, so that makes it a lot better. And we're talking Dodger baseball, and I can't wait to talk Dodger baseball with the Oklahoma City Dodgers manager, the Dodger AAA affiliate manager, Bill Hasselman, who I believe is one of the up-and-coming managers in all of Major League Baseball. He was a catcher for the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Red Sox. He actually was so good defensively that Roger Clemens wanted him to be his personal catcher for 4 years with the Boston Red Sox. So he'll join us in our next segment. We are taking your phone calls until 8 o'clock tonight, 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And I do have an update on the Brian Dozier saga, kind of. From what I understand, talking to people close to Brian, Brian is expecting a resolution on whether or not he is going to be traded by the Twins by the end of this week. Whether or not if the Twins do decide to trade him, it's to the Dodgers, remains to be seen. Even he doesn't know at this point in time. But you would expect if the Dodgers are indeed offering Jose De Leon, that's a pretty good chip the Dodgers are willing to part with to get Brian Dozier, who is a very streaky hitter and a very good hitter. And one thing a lot of people are not talking about is the defense. He's pretty good defensively, and the Dodgers were last in the National League in turning double plays. You would expect that to improve with a double play combination of Brian Dozier and Corey Seager. Now, if the Dodgers do acquire Brian Dozier, I'm still in favor of re-signing Chase Utley. That guy means a lot to that clubhouse and would be a big asset off the bench because he can't play as many games as he did last year. You saw him wear down as the season went along. And if the Dodgers were able to acquire Brian Dozier, I still would be in favor of Chase Utley coming back to the Dodgers in a reserve role. Now, one interesting caveat about the Brian Dozier saga and whether or not he's going to be traded to the Dodgers or not is we expect the Kenley Jansen signing to be made official in the next day or two. What makes that interesting is when the Dodgers made Justin Turner's signing official, he took up the last remaining 40-man roster spot. So right now, the Dodgers have 40 active guys on their 40-man roster spot, on their 40-man roster. So what that means is, when they do make Canley's signing official, they have to remove somebody from that 40-man roster to make room for Kenley Jansen, because technically he isn't a Dodger. He's a free agent. And that's why Justin Turner was removed from the 40-man roster and put back. So was Rich Hill. Kenley needs to be put back on the 40-man roster. And as we've seen with this Dodger front office, they seem to be making moves almost simultaneously a lot of times during the offseason. So I think they've been trying to buy themselves some time for two reasons. Number one, Kenley was in Curacao for his wedding and just got back to L.A. last week. So he needed to take his official physical to make this deal kosher. Number two is, are they trying to wait on the Twins to see if they were able to move a player or two off the 40-man roster to acquire Brian Dozier? Now, if you look at this one-for-one swap, hypothetically speaking, if the Dodgers just traded Jose De Leon for Brian Dozier, and that was the only move, they basically swap, and the Dodgers would still be at the maximum of their 40-man roster limit. They still would need to make a room for Kenley Jansen. Now, it's been rumored, too, the Dodgers have been trying to shop Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy. You're probably not going to get a 40-man roster spot type of player for one of those two guys. That's another possibility. But I think we're going to be finding out in the next 24 to 48 hours what the Dodgers are going to do to make room for Kenley Jansen, because we are expecting that signing to be made official this week. We'll see what happens with Brian Dozier, too. Like I said, from what I've been told, Brian is telling friends that he's expecting a resolution by the end of this week. I know I said last week that the Twins were going to make a decision on Friday. Obviously, that's been pushed back, and this is from what good sources close to Brian have told me. They expect the Twins to have a resolution on whether or not they're going to trade him, A, and whether or not they're going to trade him to the Dodgers, B. So we'll see. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. And by the way, too, I got some messages on Twitter at @TheReal_DV asking me to address the Ryan Braun trade rumors. The reason why I have not brought them up the entire offseason is I don't think they're much more than that. Rumors. If the Dodgers were not willing to make a trade last year, when there was a lot more urgency to get a right-handed bat for the postseason like a Ryan Braun, why would that change now? We're a month out from spring training, and yeah, you may think he is a good fit for the Dodgers, and I may think that too, but obviously the Dodgers don't, and they are the ones making the decisions. And if we're going to think about this rationally, if the Dodgers had a chance to trade for Ryan Braun last year, what has changed between then and now? I don't really know. It doesn't seem like they're motivated to trade Yasiel Puig for just anybody. And if it was Ryan Braun, it would have happened during the season last year. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get more into Puig and what you think the Dodgers should do with him later in the show after we talk to Bill Hasselman. But I want to catch you up on some news and notes for the Dodgers. First of all, you could get your individual spring training tickets right now at Dodgers.com. I'm leaving for Arizona, February 19th, the day before all position players have to report. And I know Kershaw doesn't like it. I don't show up for pitchers and catchers, sorry. That's not enough for me. I need position players. I need the full squad before I show up. So Kershaw, last year when I walked into the clubhouse, all, oh, didn't show up for pitchers and catchers, Dave. Well, yeah, sorry, Kersh. It's all about the full squad. What are you guys doing? Playing catch? Am I supposed to be here on time to watch you play catch from 90 feet or watch your first bullpen session? I mean, come on. It's Clayton Kershaw. I know you're going to be ready, and hopefully his back will be ready. That's a different topic for a different night. But news and notes around the Dodgers besides spring training tickets being available at Dodgers.com. The Dodgers reportedly are close to completing a minor league deal with Cuban infielder Jose Miguel Fernandez. The signing bonus, according to Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com, is for $200,000. Also, former Dodger Manny Ramirez is signing with a Japanese independent team, the Kochi Fighting Dogs, at age 44. So, yeah, Manny Ramirez still wants to play baseball, and we'll see how long it lasts in Japan. So that's basically what's going on besides what we think may be going on behind the scenes. When we come back, we'll talk to Oklahoma City Dodgers manager Bill Hasselman, one of the best, and one day will be a major league manager. He's next on Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
Welcome back to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. The phone number is 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And all off-season long, we've been hearing about how great the Dodger farm system is. And one of the great men in the Dodger organization to help shepherd and teach these guys and get them ready for the big leagues is their AAA manager, Bill Hasselman, who not only teaches but also wins. And that's what he did last year in his first season with the Oklahoma City Dodgers, coming off a California League championship the year before with their affiliate there in Rancho Cucamonga. That's the one and only Bill Hasselman. Bill, thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David. I appreciate that.
How does it make you feel that you are that guy and gaining that reputation where you're managing in the minor leagues is not just about developing but teaching, but also about winning?
Well, I mean, it's flattering for sure. You know, we certainly have a lot of good players to put out there on the field. And, you know, they're tremendous talent that they have. And we have a lot of good young ones coming up now. So I'm excited about, you know, the upcoming season and seasons after that. I mean, there's a lot of good talent in the minor leagues. And it's exciting to be able to be part of it and try to help these guys and get them prepared for, you know, the Dodgers one day when they go up and play under the lights where it really counts.
The circumstances were unique for you and Dave Roberts last year. The Dodgers used more players on their roster than any other team in Major League history. How much do you think that helped some of your young pitchers and players that were shuttled back and forth from OKC and Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think that going forward is going to help them tremendously because a lot of them have, you know, if they do end up with me, depending on what happens in the spring and who stays healthy, if some of them end up back with me, they already have that experience and the knowledge of playing there. So it's not going to be that, you know, that nervousness, anticipation that young guys have that have never been there. So, you know, it'll be more of getting prepared to go back when they're called upon, and I'm sure that will happen. And, you know, every day you get up there, you become a better, more experienced player. And I think last year with all that movement, like you mentioned, was certainly very valuable for a lot of the players.
Bill Hasselman is our guest, the manager of the AAA Oklahoma City Dodgers. And Bill, in case you don't know, was a very good catcher in the big leagues. And Bill, it doesn't seem to be a coincidence that successful managers at the major league level seem to have that catching background. When you manage, do you see the game as you did when you were calling pitches behind the plate and really orchestrating your entire defense?
Pretty much. I mean, I really enjoy the pitcher-catcher part of the game. So, like, giving the signs as far as when there's a base runner on first and trying to watch the game from the catcher's point of view is what makes it much easier for me, kind of what's going on. So, I mean, it does help you being a catcher, and I know that's said a lot about a lot of managers, and I think it's because, you know, we've dealt with when we did play with every pitcher on the staff and every position player on the team. So most position players hang out. Some pitchers don't even interact too much with position players. So as a catcher, you have to be interacting with everybody, and, you know, it forces you to really develop relationships with pitchers, regardless if you like the guy or not. And you're not going to like everybody as a catcher, but you're certainly going to be a leader in trying to make them the best pitcher they can be and move forward that way. So, yeah, it was definitely an advantage to be a catcher.
One guy that did like you a lot was Roger Clemens, and part of your 13 years, 4 years of those were in Boston, and you became his personal catcher. Seeing a guy like David Ross get the appreciation and celebration of his final year, how does that make you feel, and maybe other guys that have done what he did and what you did for Roger Clemens in Boston?
Yeah, it's a really good feeling to have a pitcher of that caliber want you to be the person to catch him. There's no question about it. I think it's, again, it goes back to the relationship and caring and really wanting to put everything you have into game calling and the game so you can take a lot of the thinking out of it for them, because there's times when a pitcher steps on the mound where they just have no idea what's going on that night. I mean, they don't feel like themselves. Nothing feels right. So the last thing they need to do is worry about calling the game. And to have a catcher that's able to support you through those, maybe that happens 10 times out of 35 starts to a starting pitcher. For a catcher to be able to support that is huge. Because I think with some really good pitchers, especially the Clemens of the world, those other 25 starts, anybody in the world could catch him, and he's going to be just fine. So I think we're talking about a minimal amount of games, but can be very important games.
Bill Hasselman is our guest, the AAA manager for the Dodgers affiliate in Oklahoma City, and one day will be a big league manager, in my opinion, and hopefully it's not in the National League. It's away from where the Dodgers are, because he's that good. You've had the experience now of managing at single A and winning there. I mentioned what you've done in your first full year with the Dodgers at AAA. How much of an advantage do you think you're going to have over managers you manage against one day in the big leagues, having the experience of managing these minor league games and finding who you are as a manager?
I mean, I don't think it can hurt, for sure, to be able to manage in these type of games. I mean, because minor leagues or big leagues, you're in the moment, so the pressure of the games take over, and it's really fun to, you know, navigate through them with your coaches and be able to, you know, figure out certain moves and stuff, because without good coaches, pitching coaches, and standing next to you making decisions and talking things through, I mean, none of it's possible. And I know in the big leagues, good bench coaches make a big difference too. So it's certainly a team effort. But yeah, I mean, it would be, you know, I think at the big league level, it'll be a little more magnified just because more people watch and stuff. But I don't think the game itself will be any different. So the experience, and as much experience as you can get going through the playoffs and doing that kind of thing, really will help.
That's interesting what you mentioned about the bench coach. And in the minor leagues, it seems like minor league managers really rely upon more on their pitching coaches. Your guy is Matt Hergis, who everybody knows in Los Angeles. How much did you lean on him, especially with a lot of the good young arms you guys were developing?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Like I said, we would discuss things on certain guys, if they were ready to come in, when to bring them in, who we trusted. We kind of knew deep down, but it's a great kind of relationship, because I think pitching coaches by nature think all their pitchers are great.
Yeah.
And being a catcher and watching them, I know the guys that just, I don't personally trust that night sometimes. So be able to see his point of view with it and then go with what I was thinking, when it matches up, it makes it easy. When it doesn't, it makes it hard, and then the decision has to be made. So it's great to have someone like Hergy with me. I mean, it's great to be able to talk through stuff with him, too.
Now that the season is over, maybe you could take us inside the decision-making room when it came to Julio Urías going into spring training and during the Oklahoma City season. What was the plan originally, and how much did you guys have to adjust because of the injuries in L.A.?
Yeah, well, I mean, with somebody like Julio, I mean, it's a little bit different because you're pretty much mapped out on the innings or pitches he's going to get that night. And you're not going to let him go over that because they're preparing him for the big leagues and trying to get him to the point they need him in Dodger Stadium. So we're not going to, in other words, I think he had a game early on where he was just going right through him. He went six innings. It might have been a no-hitter through six. And, I mean, he could have gone nine innings and easily won the game. We were winning 1-0, I think. And we had to take him out after six because that was his inning limit for the night. So it wasn't really a decision for him on that night. It was more of the plan going into the season, making sure we're building up his strength to be ready for the Dodgers. You don't want to do it too soon as far as too many innings. So, you know, there's certain guys like that where we discuss this stuff with the major league team and we have a plan on how we're going to go or use them for a given start.
Bill, how big do you think the step will be for Julio this year?
It could be pretty darn good. I mean, I personally would expect him to be one of the starters on the team, big league team. I hope it works out that way. I think he learned a lot last year. I think he got, you know, he had some rough patches, but at the end of the day, he came out pretty good. And, I mean, how young he is and his capability, his capacity to learn is really high. He has a very high ceiling. And, you know, he brings so much. He can bunt as a hitter. He holds runners. Nobody can run on him. And like I said, that little bit of experience, like what you alluded to earlier, the question you had, that little bit of experience for someone like him is going to be really, really valuable going into this year, getting all that out of the way of finally getting to the big leagues. I probably shouldn't say finally for a 19-year-old, but
yeah.
getting to the big leagues and getting that out of the way. Now moving forward, is the next step is, okay, now let's stay here and start, you know, succeeding the way I know I can as far as he's concerned. So I think he's in good shape.
It's funny that you bring up his pickoff move. When you were watching the postseason, were you chuckling to yourself that guys like Dusty Baker and Joe Maddon were bringing up the balk when it came to his pickoff move? How much did you have to deal with that in the minor leagues?
No, we didn't deal with that at all in the minor leagues, and I laughed about it when I did see it on TV, and they were talking about it. Even the announcers were talking about it, saying it was really close and stuff. But he hadn't been called for it one time in the minor leagues, and I don't believe he was called for it in the big leagues once. And it's just a great move. I mean, most great moves look like a balk move from a lefty. And I think when you have nothing else to, you know, you have no way to win that battle, then you complain that it's a balk being the other team and trying to maybe make Julio's move a little different. Maybe that gets into his head. But, you know, like I said, how mature he is, it didn't get into his head. He had the same move and nobody ran on him. So I think he's fine with the move. I don't think it's a balk. And I think teams will probably try to talk umpires into it, but I don't think they'll bite.
Bill Hasselman is our guest. Before I let you go, got to ask you about a player that you got towards the end of the season, and that's Cody Bellinger. We've heard his name. We saw him in spring training last year. How much more improved was he from what you saw last spring when you got him the last month of the season?
He looked really good to me. I had him the year before. He had improved from that. He's cut down on his strikeouts a lot. His first base, his defense speaks for itself. It's phenomenal. So big time, big strides for him. He needs, you know, he'd go through some more at bats this year. He'll probably be in AAA, I would assume, finishing with me. So, I mean, he's another one of those guys that the future is so bright for the Dodgers. He's a tremendous athlete. And like I said, a gold glove type first baseman, and his hitting is he has great power and is cutting down on the strikeouts, which is promising to see.
He's gotten some reps out there in the outfield. How much does that take away, as beautiful of a first baseman as he is, from who he is going to be? It seems like it's a waste to take him away from first base, but I guess if you need his bat in the lineup eventually, Adrian Gonzalez isn't going anywhere in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I think that's what the thinking behind it was. And yeah, when you have a guy like Adrian Gonzalez, I mean, you're not going to replace him. He's phenomenal. And so if Cody's hitting the way we all think and know he will, then you want to get his bat in the lineup. So, and like I said, athletically, he's a darn good athlete. He can run way better than people would imagine. And playing left or center field, he played left and center field for me in Rancho, and he did fine. He just needed some, you know, he needed just some adjustments on some mechanics, on breaking on balls sideways and stuff, which I think he cleaned up last year. And he's fine to go catch balls in the outfield. But I think ultimately, in the long run, he's definitely going to be a first baseman.
This isn't me talking. This is his players talking. And they all love playing for Bill Hasselman, whether it was for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes or last year with the Oklahoma City Dodgers. The Dodgers, very fortunate to have him as their AAA manager. He would fit in perfectly when the Dodgers were in Albuquerque, when they had guys like Terry Collins, Del Crandall, Mike Socha, Bill Russell, Kevin Kennedy. You're right in line with all those guys, Bill, that I used to keep up with in Albuquerque. And the Dodgers are very lucky to have you and Matt Hergis. Thanks a lot for coming on. And like I said, if you take a job, make sure it's in the American League, okay?
I will. Thanks, David. That's very nice of you. I appreciate it very much.
There he goes, the manager of the Oklahoma City Dodgers, Bill Hasselman. We appreciate him coming on the show. And I thought what he said about Julio Urias and Cody Bellinger was very interesting. Your thoughts? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We will take your phone calls next and ask you about Yasiel Puig. More Dodger talk next on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
Don't let me down.
This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Basse with you until 8 o'clock tonight on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks to Bill Hasselman for joining us in the last segment. Want to give you the schedule the rest of the week for Dodger Talk. Tomorrow night, we'll be on from 8 to 9 o'clock. And then on Friday night, we'll be on from 7 to 8 p.m. And I'm working on an in-studio guest for Friday night. Not sure if he'll do it because he has stiffed me for 2 years, so we'll see whether or not I could come through for the people. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to New Jersey. Mitch, listening on the iHeartRadio app. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Dave. Hope you feel better. Happy and healthy New Year to you.
Hey, thank you,
family.
Mitch.
I love that you have a good chance of getting this second baseman from Minnesota, Rozier.
Dozier.
But I'm one that... Rozier.
Dozier. Come on.
Rosa. Okay. Dozier. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about that Nebraska running back from 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Todd Frazier.
100% guilty. but I'm thinking of these two other guys, not both, but in combination. I know we signed Turner, but the Orioles, I don't think we signed Manny Machado, and he can play anywhere in the infield. He could probably play anywhere. Maybe now, because if you can play shortstop, you can play anything. And one other guy, and it's one of your opinion, Bryce Harper. I don't want these guys going to the Yankees, and the Dodgers have money. There's money there.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Bryce Harper has a lot to prove this next season. He had a bad season last year. I'm not so sure he's worth $400 million because that's what people were before last year expecting him to get. When he becomes a free agent after the 2018 season. Manny Machado, great player, but I see Justin Turner being the guy at third base for the Dodgers until 2020 when Nolan Arenado is a free agent. I could see that happening, him coming back to Southern California. He's a big Dodger fan. I think that's the ideal fit for the Dodgers and for Nolan for that to one day happen, and the first chance he has to become a free agent is 2020. So Justin Turner's going to be the guy, in my opinion, until Nolan Arenado's ready. Now, a free agent that is available this year is Jose Bautista, still on the market. We were kicking this around at the Sportsnet LA studios last week. Would you, if you were the Dodgers, take a one-year flyer on Joey Bats to play left field? And, you know, you got other guys you can mix in. Ethier, Joey Bats can trade off there in left field. You could play Joey Bats in right field if Puig isn't getting the job done. I thought it was pretty interesting. For how much? I don't think he's getting the qualifying offer number. I don't think he's getting $17 million this year. He doesn't have much leverage at this point in time. The only thing, though, the Dodgers would have to forfeit their draft pick for Jose Bautista. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think that's the right thing to do for a guy that's on the downside of his career. Only hit 230 last year. I know he had 22 home runs in limited plate appearances, but I just don't think that's the right move. And really, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why he's still available and why guys like Mike Napoli and Mark Trumbo are still available. Nobody wants to give up their draft pick for those guys. And I don't know where they go or where they end up or if they go back to their teams, but that's the biggest reason why a month before pitchers and catchers are to report, three of the best power hitters last year, and really three on the market, three of the top four on the market are still available. I guess I don't consider Justin Turner a power hitter, but he did hit 28 home runs, so if you want to go that route, three of the best five. Let's go out to Glendale. Bruce, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Bruce.
Good, good. Been a big fan since Big Joe and you were together.
Thanks, man. I miss him. So. Miss him every day.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Logan Forsythe, and I think that he's a good defensive player. I think he can bat leadoff. Brian Dozier is a great player. He's a, power hitter. You know, Forsythe isn't. But I think that he might be a good option for the Dodgers, and I think that he might fit well with, the chemistry of the team that we have presently. What do you think?
No, you're right, Bruce. You know, I've talked to some managers that manage in the American League, and they actually told me they think Forsythe's a better all-around player than Brian Dozier.
He had some injury problems last year, but I don't know the extent of those injuries. Do you?
I don't know the extent, but I think he's okay, and he's a pretty good defensive player. Your thoughts on Jose Bautista? Would you take a flyer on him and sacrifice a draft pick?
No, I wouldn't do that. I think the foundation is, the front office has made the decision to build the youth, and I wouldn't do that. I think we need to keep on, readying with the course and continue to build our youthful foundation, but fill in the gaps. And that's kind of why I like the Forsythe idea, because I think that he could, lead off sometimes and maybe, move some things around. The young left fielder, I'd like to see him lead off.
Andrew Tolles. I think everybody's jumping the gun on Andrew Tolles. I think he had a great 2 or 3 months, but if you look at what he did in September and the postseason, pitchers started to make adjustments to him. He only hit 220 in September, and he wasn't very good in the postseason. I don't think he's guaranteed a spot on this roster going into spring training like other people are talking.
I thought that he was going to probably split time with Ethier and left, but
they're both left-handed. I don't think so.
Okay.
Ethier might slide to right and split time with Puig if he's still on the team. And thanks for the phone call, Bruce. Appreciate it. And that brings us to Yasiel Puig. What do the Dodgers do with him? It appears he is going to be on this team in spring training. Now, the Dodgers have been conspicuously quiet since they signed back all three of their free agents. You'd expect at some time in the near future, they're going to make some moves here. And maybe they're just waiting for Brian Dozier, not him to make a decision, but for the Twins to come to a decision on whether or not they're going to trade Dozier, because it's becoming more and more apparent they really want him and feel like they have a good offer, because these talks have been going on since December. It's a long time for a team to wait on another team to make a decision on whether or not they're going to trade a player unless you really, really want him. And obviously the Dodgers do, but Yasiel Puig, can he sustain whatever he's going to do in spring training similar to what he did last spring training, which he came into shape, said all the right things, looked pretty good, but then it started to unravel in the first half of the season, and that's part of the reason why he was sent down to the minor leagues. Can he sustain it? Do you think the Dodgers should take another chance on him trying to sustain it? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And speaking of Justin Turner, I read a story online. Buster Only posted it, and he made it seem like Justin Turner was working out at Dodger Stadium while he was a free agent. That's impossible. He's not allowed to work out at the stadium as a free agent. He's not on the 40-man roster. He wasn't part of the team. And every player cleans out their locker at the end of the season. Even Clayton Kershaw does. So those lockers are completely empty. Now, maybe he was using a figure of speech when it came to that. But I could tell you, Justin Turner was not working out at Dodger Stadium when he was a free agent. He was listening to offers and weighing his options. And if the Dodgers didn't come close to this offer, maybe there was another team that was going to come in and swoop him up. And I'm happy the Dodgers were able to step up with a very generous 4 years and $64 million deal. And we'll see Justin sooner rather than later. I don't think he's changed much. He actually, when he got back from his vacation in Curacao and Aruba, he was at the Children's Hospital handing out presents the very next day. So he's still got his feet on the ground. Hopefully he won't big time me next time I see him, though. Let's go out to Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Tony.
Hey, David. Back in the summer when the Dodgers put Puig on waivers or whatever you call it, the Red Sox claimed him. So I guess the Red Sox would be interested in trading for him. Who do the Red Sox have? Young left fielder, maybe a catcher or something?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, Tony. I'm not sure why the Red Sox would want Yasiel Puig. They have pretty good outfielders on their team, so I'm not sure how he would fit, and I'm not sure what would happen as far as a trade between the Dodgers and Red Sox. I really don't see that happening, and I don't really see the Dodgers getting much more than what they were being offered at the deadline last year. I'm not sure how much Yasiel Puig improved his stock. Do you?
Well, I think it's just a chemistry thing with Handler and Ramirez, and maybe they want the fan following for Puig in Boston or something.
Thanks for the phone call, Tony. A little quick on the trigger there. I apologize. But, yeah, you know, that's why I twitched. Yasiel Puig in Boston, that would not work. I guarantee you that. Yasiel Puig in Boston or New York, they would not go for some of the flair for the dramatics that he has here in Los Angeles and the way the fans embrace that here. They don't embrace it in Boston, and you talk to anybody that played there, even the great players, guys like Nomar, Adrian Gonzalez, Roger Clemens, Boston is a very unforgiving place to play. Let's go out to Buena Park. Isabel, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Isabel.
Hey, David. I hope you feel better. And can you put
Thank
me on hold after we get done talking? I got to talk to Ronnie.
Oh.
But anyway, listen, I am tired of Puig. You know how I feel about Puig. So, and I like the interview you had about who the guy you had, who is. I know I'm not going to be able to ever say his name. But, yeah, I think he can be his daughter's. So, you know, he did have, let's be honest. You could say he did have a pretty good year last year, I guess. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, the only thing I'm going to keep saying, they need pitching. So.
All right, Isabel. I'll put you on hold. Maybe Ronnie can help you with that name. So, Ronnie, help her out, please. Come on. Isabel's our friend, and I'm sorry, Isabel, to break the news to you. We will not be bringing Dodger Talk to the Shakeys in Buena Park this year, but I will try to work on that in 2017. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. In case you missed our interview with Bill Hasselman, the manager at Oklahoma City for the Dodgers, you could podcast that at am570lasports.com. I thought he had some really interesting things to say about the development of Julio Urias and also Cody Bellinger, who definitely is on the rise for the Dodgers. And I thought it was interesting that he said that Cody is pretty good in the outfield, in center field and left field. Adrian Gonzalez is not going anywhere. And I think people always get excited over these prospects. And Cody Bellinger, I believe, is going to be a really good player. Is he going to be as dependable as Adrian Gonzalez? I can guarantee you he won't be in his first year. Adrian Gonzalez is a guy that you take for granted. Every year he comes up with 90 RBIs, 100 RBIs. Whether or not he hits 25 or 30 home runs, you know he's going to drive in 100 runs. And a lot of times they're going to be big RBIs. And I think a lot of times we, media, fans, take it for granted when you have a guy like that that's so consistent and dependable in your lineup that when he's gone, you miss him more than you appreciate him while he's playing. And I think Adrian Gonzalez, when his career is over with, that's the category he's going to go into, because we all just take it for granted. He's playing 162. He's driving in 100 runs. He's playing gold glove caliber defense, even at this stage of his career. Saving a lot of errors, too, by the way. He may not be able to move as great as he used to be laterally, but you ask any of the infielders since he's been with the Dodgers, he makes a difference as far as being a security blanket over there for them to have the ability to make some of the plays across the diamond, to make the throws, to make some of these incredible plays, knowing they have a guy there that if it's close, he's going to scoop it up. He's a Hoover over there, Hoover vacuum cleaner over there. And I think when he's gone, he'll be appreciated more than as he's playing right now. And I know everybody has their sights on Cody Bellinger. And look, I love the young players coming up too. It's going to be great one day to have Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger in the same infield together. But let's not forget what you have right now, Adrian Gonzalez. And since Adrian Gonzalez has been acquired by the Dodgers, they have won four straight NLS championships. And I know a lot has to do with other players, but the Dodgers were searching for a power-hitting first baseman for a long time, and they finally got it, and he's been better than advertised, really, if you look at his career with the Dodgers. So easy on the Cody Bellinger hype. He's going to get here. He's going to play gold glove first base too, but Adrian Gonzalez has still got first base locked down for the Dodgers, and he probably will drive in another 90, 100 runs and play another 150 games. Now, I do believe this year the Dodgers will try to get him off his feet a little bit more. And I know they've said that each of the last 3 years, which goes back to what I said. You take for granted what you got. The Dodgers, Don Mattingly, Dave Roberts last year, always said in spring training, each of the last two springs, they want to try to get Adrian off his feet. But they can't afford to do that because he means so much to that lineup. And now you have a middle of the order with Turner, Seager, and Gonzalez. And if the Dodgers are able to add Brian Dozier to that heart of the order, it's going to be pretty special to watch the offense at Dodger Stadium this year. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're closing out Dodger Talk right now. Coming up tomorrow, we will be on at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 o'clock, Dodger Talk. Friday, we will be with you 7 to 8 p.m. as well. And like I said, expecting the Dodgers to make the Kenley Jansen deal official within the next 24 to 48 hours. And once they do that, we could get more answers from Kenley on how the negotiations went, and also from Andrew Friedman on the negotiations between he and Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen, plus what they may have up their sleeve in the next 3 weeks as they get closer to spring training, which, by the way, is a lot earlier this year. Not a lot, but it's earlier because of the World Baseball Classic, and so far no Dodgers were on that initial roster. So the Dodgers are going to have their full complement of players from Team USA at spring training. Now, Adrian Gonzalez is going to play for Team Mexico in the World Baseball Classic. And his brother, I believe, is the manager of Team Mexico. So obviously he wants to help his brother out. And Adrian's one guy you don't have to worry about being ready for the regular season. So that'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio. Thanks to Bill Hasselman, the manager of the Oklahoma City Dodgers, joining us earlier in the show. If you missed that or any other part of Dodger Talk tonight, you can go to AM570LASports.com to podcast it. We'll be back with you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.